Well, do you love what he's doing in your life? Praise God. There will be children's choir Friday at 7. My wife sends you her regards. She's getting past some kind of fever virus. And I handled a couple of little people today that were having the same type of problem. Surely it will not come nigh thy house. It's good to have the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. What a wonderful presence of God in the house. It's just excellent to be a part of what God is doing. We're really excited about Brother Emery coming the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And I told you Sunday morning he's just using us because he wants to go see his folks in Anniston. And we like being used. So we're glad he's going to be able to be here. And also, if you've never been in service with any of the Dross boys, Mark Dross will be with us the first week of, first Sunday of December. And he's the youngest of the three. Those kids were raised up in El Salvador during the war years. And they were all pastoring churches in Guatemala and then later in Mexico. But I think they started pastoring when they were about 16 years old. And so they cut their teeth on apostolic revival and a great move of God. And so there's going to be a wonderful, wonderful move of God in the house that first week of December. If we can have church in the Holy Day season, I believe we can. We've had some of our best church in that time frame. Let's read tonight in 1 Corinthians 15, and then we're going to move on out of that chapter. Thought we'd touch this just once more. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll begin in verse 49. And why don't you say, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Is anybody walking in that promise right now? You've got confidence that God is able to do what he said he was going to do. Redeem you and restore you and take you to live with him forever. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or physically die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. And if you love his word and you're glad for it, give him thanks and praise for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we thank you, and we magnify you, and we lift you, and you're such a good God to let us handle your eternal word in the house tonight. And we praise you for it, and we thank you for it. Glory to God. Could we just press into that a little bit? Somebody needs to pray right now, and somebody needs to loose the Holy Ghost in them. Could you just let the Holy Ghost speak through you and voice through you right now? Could you let the Spirit of God do a work in your vessel right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Ah, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Ah. He is so good, and it is such a blessing to be able to stand in the house of God with God's people. Now, concerning this business of living for God and the promises of God, framing it in terms of prophecy, we have some understanding here that we get the promise of God now, but not all the promise. We get the down payment. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. And that language is all through the scripture. And not only the language, but the miraculous blend of the natural and the supernatural. We get it all here. We still walk in the confines of the world and our bodies and the fallen nature. And we still get fever viruses. And I don't know anybody that's escaped completely, because there are those that will tell you it's possible to walk in that place where you never get sick and you never die. But I notice they always die. It's 2,000 years of church and nobody's still living from back there. And so it is that we have this promise. We have this treasure, but it's in what? It's in an earthen vessel. And that earthen vessel wears out and breaks down and has its problems and springs leaks and has all kinds of things that happens to it. And there's this fluid frontier between things natural and things spiritually. Paul says we see through a glass darkly. We get it, but we don't get it all. We see more than the world sees, but we still don't see him yet face to face. He said, now I know in part, now I prophesy in part, but then I'll know even as I am known. And so there's a payoff coming. Don't ever get caught in the trap. Don't ever get caught in the trap that the payoff is here. That somehow everything's going to be a happy ending here, because it's never going to be that way. Don't ever get caught in the trap that everything's going to work out beautifully and perfectly here, because it's not. And that will damage your faith. Now, on the other side, I don't want you to walk in severe depression every day of your life thinking it's never going to be right here, because it really is good here. And it's a whole lot better than it was. And it's the best way to live is to live for God. And God does bless his people. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread, and on and on and on. But the payoff is on the other side. Don't confuse the two. The Levites carry the ark, and the ark is full of the power of God, but they never get to see it themselves. They handle eternal things and supernatural things, but they never get to handle it altogether. It is now, but it's not yet. It is real, but it's not in its completed form yet. Our lives are changed. They really are. But they're still backsliders. We have miracles in our midst tonight, but not everybody gets healed. And everybody say amen. We believe, we really do believe, but every one of us someplace in this journey will get down in our prayer place and we'll pray, God, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I really do believe you, but I don't know everything that's going on, and I really need you right now, God. I'm following you. I've got, and the scripture's very clear. We don't see everything yet, but we see Jesus. Well, praise God. We look unto him. He's the author, and he started writing this story, and he's going to finish this story. But we're not to the end of it all yet. And so we walk in this tension between these two. And we love what God is doing, and we want him to do it all. And we walk out on the raw edge of faith and lay claim to things. And we pursue things, and we believe God for things. But we don't see everything that we pray for, because God's still God. And he says yes sometimes, and he says wait sometimes. And sometimes he just says no. Because he's God. Everybody say praise the Lord. But Brother Sutton, if you believe you can have anything you believe, you better read that in context. Anybody that believes can have the Holy Ghost. That's a non-negotiable. But you're not ever going to get everything that you pray for. You're not going to get everything that you believe God for. Because you're not God. And you don't see. And he sees down the way more clearly than you. Oh, I'm really building your faith tonight. Praise God. How many of you believe you have eternal life? How many of you believe you have it already? Not a trick question. I know you're saying I'm never going to die, but you are. If you live long enough, you're not going to get out of here alive. And so there's the tension. There's the place that we're caught between. We're living in this shifting land between the natural and the supernatural, between what we see and what we have yet to see. Now, I'll just tell you, I love what God is doing, and I love living for God, and I appreciate all the promise. And I believe just like he told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And the promise of God comes through Abraham. The Church of the Living God is the recipient of that promise tonight. We are, by virtue of being baptized in the name of Jesus, for all of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so the promise is yours. And God has blessed you so that you can be a blessing. And it's the will of God to bless you. And God designs to bless you. And he wants to bless you. And everybody say amen. But he wants to do that so that you can be the conduit for somebody else to have the blessing of God pour forth on their lives. Praise God. Now, what we're going to deal with tonight is this unique prophetic moment that we're living in. For 2,000 years, Israel has been in diaspora. They've been scattered all over the world, but now they're back. And so many prophecies that could not have taken place before can take place now, because Israel is the tripwire. She's the trigger. She is the cornerstone of all end time prophecy. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 64 and 65, God said, in the middle of a diatribe about what he was going to do to them if they didn't obey him, he said, I'm going to scatter you into all nations. He's going to scatter them all over the world. And he does that. Our text tonight was about the rapture. That's what we're going to focus on tonight. But Israel is scattered all over the world, and they were scattered twice. Everybody say he did it twice. He scatters them all over the world, and he promises that he's going to gather them back. Now, he promises that he'll gather them back before he ever scatters them. Now, that's incredible. There's not a book like this in all the world, and there's no promise like this in all the world. If we look at Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 10 through 12, we find that cornerstone prophecy. And we understand that this has been fulfilled in our day. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, or a signal to the people, and or to the nations, the Gentiles, if you would. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I can't work this in detail tonight, but this is talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ and how God's going to open the door to the Gentiles. We are living in that day, and you are the fruit of that prophecy. You have come to live for God through the door of Jesus Christ, who is our modern day tabernacle. And everybody say, praise the Lord. And so you are the fulfillment of that passage of scripture. And his rest shall be glorious. Is there anybody in the house that has found his rest to be glorious? Verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. Everyone say the second time. To recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Where are they? They're scattered all over the world. He's going to gather them back. How many times is he going to do it? Twice. He's going to do it twice. Isaiah is writing in the 600s BC. They don't get scattered for another century or so after Isaiah. And so we have Isaiah giving this prophecy that they're going to be scattered twice and gathered back twice. And that has been fulfilled in our day, because Israel is back in the land tonight. Now, that's a tripwire for prophecy, and things began to move. I don't know if you lived during the 70s, but if you did, the late 60s and early 70s, there was this amazing explosion of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, not only in North America, but all over the world. And that thing has continued with great and increasing momentum to the point now that we're getting close, if we haven't already passed it, because nobody has current data on it, but we're probably at a place where there are a billion people on the face of the earth filled with the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues. Because as of late as 1999, Harvard said it was 500 million. I saw some data the other day that said by 2000, it was 700 million. And so I'm just telling you, 12 years later, we're standing at a place, I'll guarantee you, it's over a billion people on the face of the earth today that are filled with the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues. And you can wait. The next wave is going to be the understanding and the revelation of the name of Jesus and an outpouring of understanding of baptism in Jesus' name. It is already happening all over the earth right now. Well, praise God. And that all began to really move and shake with the resurgence of Israel in the land. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 21. And this is a time stamp for us in regard to prophecy. Luke chapter 21. And we'll begin with verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Jesus is standing in rebuilt Jerusalem. He's standing under the shadow of the rebuilt temple. He's there in the very place where the first half of that prophecy has been fulfilled. They've been scattered once and regathered once. And now he's standing there and he's proclaiming they're going to be scattered again. And so he's dovetailing in with that Old Testament prophecy. They're going to be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, or governed or controlled by Gentiles, until when? Until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until the time of the Gentiles is over. Jesus talks about the church age in this language. The church age is the time of the Gentiles. That's where we're living right now. It's been going on for 2,000 years. But for the greater part of the 2,000 years, Israel was scattered, and Palestine or Israel was not Jewish. But who's there now? What flag is flying over Tel Aviv tonight? What flag is flying over Jerusalem tonight? It's David's star. It's the star of David. It's flying over Israel because Israel is Jewish again. And this scripture says, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, Jerusalem is no longer trodden down of Gentiles. It's Jewish now. Everybody say praise the Lord. And so if that's true, then the time of the Gentiles is coming to a close. Our day, this church age, this time that we're living in, it began, the door began to swing closed on it when Israel came back into the land. I don't know if it was in 48 when they arrived. I don't know if it was in the Six-Day War in the late 60s. I don't know if it was when they took all of Jerusalem in 73. But I'll tell you right now, if you could hear in the spirit, the door to the Gentiles or the door to the Gentile dispensation, the church age, is swinging closed right now. And this prophecy is the tripwire for that. And if you don't understand that, just go to Israel and walk around and listen to them speak what was a dead language, and listen to a people that were a dead people, and they didn't have a land, and they were not a people, and now they've got their own government and their own economy, and God has brought this to pass in our day. And everyone say praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 37 talks about the regathering of Israel back into the land. It's also the chapter of the dry bones, and the dry bones are a metaphor for the regathering of Israel. The prophet speaks to the bones and they all come together, and then he prophesies to the wind, and the wind comes upon the bones and they stand upon their feet, and he tells the prophet, "This is my people Israel." And later in that chapter he talks about them coming back from all the nations. Chapter 38 is in Ezekiel is about that nation having come back together. And as they stand there, a testament to the prophecy of God, he said, nations are going to conspire to come against them. And he lists the nations, and two of the notable nations that he lists are Russia and Iran. Now he calls Iran Persia, and he calls Russia Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal. But those are all tribal people north of the Caucasus Mountains, and that's where Russia is today. It's amazing that they still exist in the earth. It's even more amazing that they are working together right now. Who's building those centrifuges and who's giving them the technology to develop a nuclear device? Well, it's Russia. And Russia's there. Russia was in Iraq. Now Russia's in Iran. And they're standing there, a testament to the prophecy of the word of God. Israel's back in the land, and the characters are lined up. Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13 identify Russia and Great Britain and Germany and the United States. And we don't have time in this brief overview to tonight, but I'm telling you, the scripture gives you the context and the framing prophetically for the place we're standing at tonight, and gives you the animal symbols or the description or the very names of those nations. And all the players are in place, and Israel is back, and Russia and Iran are together, and all the nations are where they are supposed to be within biblical prophecy, and we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. Revelation chapter 9 verses 14 through 16 talks about an army of 200 million east of the Euphrates. There were not that many people in the earth at the time the prophecy was given, but tonight Mao's Red Army in China, Mao's Red Army in China can field an army, a people's army of 200 million. I will tell you that it is possible probably to get together 200 million Arabs now in the Middle East. And so these prophecies are possible now for the first time in history. Revelation 16, 12 through 16 talks about the Euphrates River being dried up to make the way for the kings of the East. And a good number of years ago, there was a dam built at the headwaters of the Euphrates so that it could be dried up. Revelation 13 talks about a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. And right now you can get your very own little silicone chip underneath your skin that has all of your personal information on it. You can take your dog Bosco down to the vet and have that done right now. They encourage you to do that. It's better than a tag. I don't have any tags I've replaced on labs that like to run up and down the creek. But if I just get them a chip, if I just get them the mark of the beast, they never have that trouble losing their chip. They won't lose their tag anymore, and it's going to become more and more obvious that that is a perfect plan for all men and women and children, old people that wander away. You know just where they are because the GPS has them. Little kids that wander away or get stolen, you know, it's not a problem anymore because they've got GPS and they've got a chip in them, and it sounds so good. And at Walmart, you just got to wave your hand or your head, one or the two, and you can ring up your groceries. And the scripture talks about that in a day where that technology was not even a faraway dream. But we see the point of sale technology that allows that scripture to be, in fact, true. And as we see these things coming to pass, and the earthquake that was in Guatemala today, and the earthquakes that have been going on, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, but they are heating up. They are getting stronger, and they are getting closer together than at any time in recorded history. And we're starting to have tsunamis because of earthquakes. We had a devastating one in 2001. And I want you to understand that the prophecy for that is plural. It says waves roaring. Now, when the Bible talks about something like that, it's not just talking about some little surfer waves that are coming in. If the Bible talks about it at all, if it mentions it, it's going to be a notable occasion where the sea just rises up and overwhelms the land. And that's already happened on several occasions, and we're going to see more of that because that's part of earthquake activity. Jesus said in Matthew 24, these are the beginnings of sorrows. The beginnings of sorrows is a phrase that talks about the birth pains of a woman. The beginnings of sorrow is what the woman feels as the baby is coming. And you know, many of you from personal experience, that the closer you get to the event, the closer the pains get together. What's the first question the doctor asks when you go to the hospital? Or you call, how close are the pains together? And they get stronger. And somebody say, praise God for epidurals. But there won't be an epidural in this. There's not going to be stopping this or curtailing the pain of this. These signs are going to begin to steamroll. I just want to stop for a second and tell you, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Don't get too connected. The old timers used to say, don't drive your tent stakes too deeply, because if you fall in love with this, you're going to miss him when he comes. If you fall in love with this, it's going to lay claim to your heart. You can't let this command your emotion. You can't let this steal your victory, whether it's the economy or whether it's something you've got your heart set on him. People fall out with God over men and women and banks and loans and houses and cars and things that in the backdrop of eternity will seem so absolutely simplistic and without value at all. It's amazing what people, Jesus said, what would a man trade his soul for? And it's amazing what people trade their souls for. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. Don't get too enraptured. Go and achieve and build and learn and accomplish and do all the things you can dream about doing in this earth. But keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye and let everything you do be within the context of how can I bring glory to God? How can I be a blessing to the people of God? And how can I be effective in the harvest of God by my accomplishments here? Whatever I do here, let it be to the glory of God. Let's give God a little bit of praise right now. Does anybody want to give God glory? Does anybody want to stand in a place where God said, that's my child, that's my son, that's my daughter. Look at what they're doing there. Well, praise God. So we are living in the fulfillment of Joel 2:28, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I really do believe we're going to have a great, great outpouring of the Holy Ghost as we go. It should just continue to get grander and greater. Sunday morning, I mentioned the parables that also depict the coming of the Lord and the judgment, the great and notable day of the Lord, and how they all are positioned. Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the wheat and the tares. When the workers notice that the tares are coming up in the wheat, they say, should we go and pull them up right now? And the Lord says, no, just wait till the end of the time and the end of the season. And down at the time of harvest, I'll get them all at the same time. You understand what I'm telling you? The righteous and the unrighteous get caught up all at the same time. And he said the angels will determine the keepers and the culls. Matthew chapter 13, you also get the parable of the net. It's the kingdom of heaven is as a net cast into the sea. And he gives them the understanding of that. The angels divide at the end of the time frame. The angels divide the keepers from the culls and separate what God is pleased with and those things that he's not. And so all the parables talk about the thing culminating at a certain time and the good and the bad being at the same place on the deck at the same time. It's that way with the wedding feast, and it's that way with the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, and the Lord comes at midnight and some get in and some don't get in, and they all have the same tone and the same climax there at the end. The Lord is coming back. And in some of them, there's this discussion of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and those that are not able to enter in what will be their eternal estate. And so we get introduced to the day of the Lord in a lot of different ways. Direct prophecy from the Old Testament and the day of the Lord in the analogy or the metaphor of the parables. And we want to take a look at the day of the Lord for just a moment here tonight, if that's all right with you, because the rapture is the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is the rapture. Matthew chapter 24 and beginning in verse 30. Are you okay? Okay. I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. You know, if you'd asked the Jews if they were excited about getting out of Egypt, most of them probably would have said yes. And then if you said, if they had known by prophecy that they were about to go through all the plagues, if you would have said, are you excited about going through all the plagues? And they would have said, uh-uh. But you know God had them in a special little place called Goshen. And when it came down to the place around the lice, God said, now, Moses, I'm going to make a distinction between my people and Egypt. And he said, the plagues are going to fall on Egypt, and they're not going to fall on Goshen. Do you understand the typology there? Do you understand that you can be here in the middle of all the vials and the plagues and the book of Revelation and all the things that just scares the willies out of you and understand that that's where they were living in Egypt? They were in Goshen, and God was blasting Pharaoh and blasting the seed of his sorcerers and blasting their crops, but there wasn't a crop that failed in Goshen. There wasn't a cow that died in Goshen, and they had everything they needed, and it was all right because God takes care of his people. Don't let anybody scare you with the idea of the end time. You need to stand in your faith in God and understand that he loves you and he's a good father, and this is not a scary thing for the church of the living God. This is a time for the church to shine in the dark. The book of Daniel says, and they that do know their God shall do exploits. It's going to be that kind of day. It's going to be a day when God's people rise up in the middle of the darkness and your little candle shows up for miles and miles. The church is going to be a city set on a hill. I want you to understand that is the will of God for these last days. Don't get worried about the economy and the trouble around you. Just say, my God, this is going to be a great day of revival. When people get shaken up, when people get scared, they're going to come looking for God, and we've got something to tell them. Well, praise God. You do have something to tell them. Matthew 24 and beginning in verse 30. And then, and Matthew 24 is the chapter that's like Luke 21, and they tell the basic same stories from different authors here. But let's start with verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This language is consistent with the language concerning the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, the seventh trump, the sixth vial. All of those use the same language. And we're going to see it gets a little redundant here. But all of those are talking about the same day. It's called the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's called the second coming. It's the coming of Christ. It's the, not a biblical term, but it's the rapture. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. All those things are going on, and then he's going to come. And I don't see a secret coming of the Lord here anywhere. I don't see a silent coming of the Lord. It's with shouts, and it's with trumpets, and it's with all kinds of cataclysm. Okay. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man. Who's going to see him? All the tribes of the earth. Everybody's going to see him when he comes, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's that trumpet. We just read it in our text. We're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed at the last trump. Everybody say the last trump. That's what Paul said was going to happen. Verse 31, he'll send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There it is again. And they shall gather his elect. When are the elect going to be gathered? When that trumpet sounds. And it's not going to be a silent trumpet. It's not going to be a little Cracker Jack's little trumpet. It's not going to be a little toy. It's going to be a heavenly trumpet. And it's going to shake everything in the earth. And the dead are going to get up. Friend, that's going to be a notable sound that goes forth in the earth. He gathers his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Everyone say praise the Lord. Let's go ahead a book to Mark chapter 13, and we'll explore this a little further. Are you okay? Mark chapter 13 and beginning in verse 24. You need to be right with God. You don't need to be fooling around today. If you're backslidden today, you're an idiot. If you're halfway in and halfway out tonight, you got grits for brains. If you're fooling around with something over the fence, something outside the kingdom of God, you're hazarding your soul. You don't have time for that. The enemy's got a delusion going on between your ears, and you're not thinking clearly. You need to hear the word of God tonight and understand that any moment now, you don't have to have the coming of the Lord. Any moment now, you could draw your last breath. But the inevitability is that God is coming, and you need to be right. Mark chapter 13 and beginning of verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, everyone say after that tribulation. Here it is again. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. The only thing that's going to stand is what's standing on the word of God. And then they shall see, and then after all of that, and after the shaking, the great shaking, then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Some of them are in Abraham's bosom, and some of them are still alive on the earth, and he's going to gather them up, just like Paul said. Some of you are alive, and some of you are in the grave. And God's going to gather them all up at the same time. Everyone say praise the Lord. Now, this great and terrible day of the Lord is not displayed anywhere more powerfully than in Zechariah. God, turn to Zechariah chapter 12 and we'll just explore a few verses there. Are you okay, Tyler? You doing all right? Good. You staying with me? I'm not checking on you. I just have great confidence in our media team. They do great work. Zechariah chapter 12. And beginning in verse 1, the burden of the Lord, of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him. Now, who are we talking about? Help me. Well, yeah, God, the creator, God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundation of the earth. He formed the spirit of man within him. And then he begins to talk about the day of the Lord, Jerusalem surrounded by armies, Jerusalem under the onslaught of these conquering armies. But you understand here what's going to happen. The fighting is going to be from house to house. They won't destroy Jerusalem because it is holy to not only the Jews, but it's holy to the Islamics. And so they're not going to bomb Jerusalem. They're going to come in there and fight house to house. We'll see that in chapter 14. But this is a picture of Armageddon. And this is the very death throes of Jerusalem. And this is what the 14th chapter says. Half the city is taken and the houses rifled and the women ravished. And then the Lord is going to come. Israel is almost on her knees. Jerusalem's just about to fall, and God is going to come back. But let's run down in that chapter, verse 9, chapter 12, verse 9. It'll come to pass in that day that I'll seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I'll pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me. Who's talking here? God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God that stretched forth the heavens and the foundations of the earth and breathed life into man. He said, they're going to look at me and they're going to see nail prints in my hands and in my side if they care to look. And they shall mourn for him. Now, this is where Israel gets it. Israel's not going to get it until he comes back. But when he comes back, they're going to say, oh, Messiah, we knew he was coming. And then somebody's going to ask him a question, chapter 13 and verse 6. He's coming back and they're going to say, where did you get these wounds in your hands? And he's going to say, these are those that I received in the house of my friends. And in that last part of chapter 12, the whole nation of Israel forgets that the heathen is at the gate, that the war is raging. They lay down their guns, they fall on their faces, and they all begin to mourn and to cry and repent before God because they understand this is the second time that he's come. And the first time we crucified him when he came. This is such a powerful passage for us, such a powerful passage for the oneness of God, such a powerful passage for prophecy and understanding the sequence of these things. Jesus is coming one more time. He's not going to make a flyby, a buzz by. He's not going to come and select a few out of the earth and go away for a while and then come back. He's coming one time. It is that great and terrible day of the Lord, and it is the gathering of his people, and it is the rapture, and it is the catching away, and it is the, in the Greek, ekphugo. Everybody say, I'll fly away. That's exactly what it means. I will fly away. And that's exactly what you're going to do. But we're in this for the whole ride. We're in this until he comes. And he's not coming until the business is finished. And I'll just tell you this. In those days of trouble, men are going to be looking for God. And in those days of trouble, the church is going to be here. And the church may not be in a building like this. It may be in your home. You may be just on the street. But you say, well, what will life be like then? Well, the Bible says two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Two will be working in the field. People are still going to be working their jobs. People still got to live and do things and make things. And it's going to be like that. That's Matthew 24. He says it's going to be like the day of Noah. They didn't know till it came on them. They didn't understand till, but they're going to be working. They're going to be just doing, and the right one's going to be working. He's going to be shoulder to shoulder with the wrong one, and here comes God. He said it's going to be just like the day of Noah, but the day of Noah was not a select thing that only happened to part of the population. The day of Noah happened to everybody. Some were in the boat and they went up. Some were not in the boat and they all went down. And that's exactly how I'm glad I'm in the boat tonight. I'm glad I'm in the ark of the church of the living God. I've got to quit somewhere here. So Zechariah 12, 13, 14, one of the best reads you can have for an overview of Armageddon from the perspective of on the ground, what it looks like when Jesus comes back and destroys all the nations. It's really great reading. Their eyes dissolve in their sockets. Their tongues dissolve in their mouth. Their flesh dissolves while they stand on their feet. It's not going to be much of a fight. Paul says he's going to destroy them with the brightness of his coming. And it doesn't matter how they're geared up or what kind of army they have. It's going to just be over in a second. Well, praise God. That's what happens when he comes back. It's bad for them, but it's good for us. I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. I'm glad to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, praise God. Tyler, just a little bit more, my friend. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. We won't nearly finish this tonight. I'm always so ambitious about what we're doing. 1 Thessalonians 4 and beginning in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died in the church, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We've got hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, don't we? Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You understand, the coming of the Lord is the only language that he uses. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. When are we going to go? When the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, not with a little. Everybody come on. Psst, let's go now. Don't make noise because it's secret. This is a secret. No, it's going to be a trumpet. It's going to be a shout. You're going to shout. I mean, you're just going to be walking through your day and your foot's going to catch air, and about halfway up, you're going to, it's here. It's him. And I don't know what happens to your car and your clothes and your house and your business and all that. I don't know. And I don't care what happens to your car and your clothes, and I don't care what happens to your favorite little poochie-woochie doggy. I can't go in the rapture without my poochie doggy. You see what I'm saying? Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. Don't get connected with some animal down here. And you're like, but wait, Jesus, don't doggies go. Don't worry about dogs. One thing on your mind. Now all the dog lovers are checking out on me. So don't be ignorant. We believe that Jesus died and that he rose again. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Everybody shout a little bit. Now see, he's going to shout a lot louder than that. Was that Olivia? Okay. Good shout, Olivia. And with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and it's going to wake the dead. It's literally going to wake the dead. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be, and every eye is going to see it. And it's, he said, don't worry about it. You hear the Christ is here. The Christ is there. Back in those chapters of Luke 21 and Matthew 24, if they say he's over in the desert, don't go looking for him. If he's in the mountains, don't run over there. He said, because it's going to be like the lightning from the east to the west. Everybody's going to see it when he comes. And when he comes, that's when we go. Well, praise God. I'm excited about him coming. I'm excited about us going. I'm about to quit here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. You see, those things are going to happen at the same time. The coming of the Lord and our gathering unto him. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You see, that his coming and our going, Paul calls here the day of Christ. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. How many days? That day, singular day, that day shall not come. His coming, our going, all on the same day. If we'd have read on down in Zechariah 14, it said it's going to be a weird day. This is a paraphrase. It's going to be in the evening time, and it's not going to be dark, and it's not going to be light. But he says there shall be light at the evening time. There's an old song written about that. But it's going to be one of those bizarre days where there's this twilight hanging over the earth. I'm just telling you, I'm going to tell you this. When those two witnesses get up from Revelation chapter 11, and you're hanging out, if you're still alive here, and you're hanging out, and you're walking out into a day, and you think, huh, it looks kind of like a hurricane coming down in South Louisiana, kind of green light, and not really, I mean, everything in you ought to be saying, hey, it's here, this is him, he's coming, Israel's, and I mean, you can just walk through, Israel's back in the land, Russia and Iran are there, Euphrates River's dried up, we just had a nuclear exchange, and it killed 2 billion people. Yeah, that's going to happen too. A third of the world's population is going to die. You know, you'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to see this coming. You may not know the day and you may not know the hour, friend, but you're going to know when you're in the neighborhood. And we are getting right into the neighborhood right now. Well, praise God. I believe that, and I'm a post-tribber. Did I say that? How could you not know? We need to stop because you got a clock that's going to go off in the morning and you're going to be saying prophecy, smophecy. Let's stand together. Come down around the altar if you would. Praise God. Praise God. Take somebody by the hand or lay your hand on somebody and just begin to pray for one another. God, mighty God. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. It's bittersweet. We're going to say goodbye to everything here. And this is all we know. But that's where you've got to get in your mind and in your spirit. I'm ready to say goodbye, world. Goodbye. Thank you, Jesus, for the promise of your coming. Thank you, God, for the promise, for the power of your Holy Ghost. Thank you, mighty God. I thank you, mighty God. I worship you, mighty God. If you've got the Holy Ghost, let that heavenly language just flow through your vessel right now. You've already got the down payment, the earnest of your inheritance. You've already got part of that kingdom to come down inside of you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You need to tell somebody near you that nothing's going to come between you and the sound of that trumpet. Well, praise God.